All positive natural health programs on HRNradio.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pep Talk. Sharky Zartman here. And if you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed, today we have Dr. Michael De Maria, the author of A Guide to Awakening Peace Within. And today he will share three steps to de-stress so we can enjoy the holiday season to the fullest. We also have Beth Bulk-Walter, an entrepreneur, chocolatier, confessed chocoholic, and the author of The Guilty Pleasures of Chocolate Therapy. And today she will share the benefits of chocolate and some amazing recipes you'll want to share with your family and friends. And first up, we have Dr. Michael De Maria, a clinical psychologist, mindfulness and wellness expert, four-time Grammy nominee, and the author of the number one bestseller, A Guide to Awakening Peace Within. His passion is helping others find inner peace through these troubling times, and he makes mindfulness and meditation accessible, easy, and fun with his dynamic, practical, and engaging teaching methods. So welcome, Dr. Michael.
Thank you, Sharky. It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm excited to have you. I started reading your book, and I'm so impressed that you shared a story right off the bat, because a lot of books that I read, you know, about this topic, it seems like some people are kind of floating on clouds and looking down on people.
Yeah.
But you really brought it, I think, to everybody's level, you know, with your story. Can you share that with us?
Oh, I would love to, Sharky. Yes, so this is hard-won wisdom by going through the difficult challenges we all face. And as you know, this book really arose out of a cataclysmic year of multiple tragedies in my life when I was 42, which is now 12 years ago. But it basically started with a knee and back injury that reignited some early childhood trauma. I had a number of surgeries as a child, and one in particular when I was 6 and 7 that really, really was like a near-death experience for me. And when I was facing surgery again as an adult, I had not had a surgery since I had been a child. I knew and understood post-traumatic stress as a clinical psychologist, but I hadn't actually experienced it reemergence like this occurred. In the process of dealing with that, our house was hit by a 15-foot wall of water called Hurricane Ivan, which was very much for Pensacola like Katrina was for New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and my daughter were having to move into the back of my office where we ended up living for a number of years while we had to rebuild our home. In addition, I had that really disrupted my business. I didn't work for 3 months and had a few associates that ended up leaving my practice. And I was literally felt abandoned, lost, alone, and literally struggled with suicidal despair at the time, particularly because of those childhood traumas that made me feel like I was 6 years old again, extremely vulnerable and scared, even though I had been a successful author and teacher and psychologist.
Right. So how did you find your way out of this?
Well, you know, one of the things that was so difficult for me was I had been practicing mindfulness and meditation since I was 18. I had this really cool meditation space at the house where I would sit cross-legged. And so, number one, I didn't have that space because of the hurricane. Number mm-hmm. two, because of my knee and back injury, I couldn't do my seated meditation. And it just was kind of devastating for me. It was like that was my touchstone. So I began experimenting with these lying down meditations and also examining my thought process in what I, you know, kind of a microwave. And it really, the two big things for me were beginning to do these lying down meditation practices, which I ended up finding were actually more powerful than the seated practices and make a central part of my book, Peace Within. But also I began doing what I call releasing into the now, and also basically realizing that all thoughts to some degree are delusional, and came up with the mantra that changed my life, and I find that really can be helpful for changing other people's lives. And that's part of the three steps to de-stress we've talked about.
Okay, well, gosh, well, we need to get to that then. What are the three steps? Because these times right now are pretty stressful.
Extremely. We are all dealing with future shock, information overload, data smog, and of course, you know, a lot of polarization in the media, particularly politically and in terms of our, you know, financial situation as a country and individually. It's It's very stressful times. Yes, indeed.
Yes. Okay. So what are the three steps? I like that it's just three steps, by the way.
Absolutely. Well, the first one is I call releasing into the now.
Okay.
And this is something your listeners can do right now with us. And basically, it really helps if you're standing. And while you're standing and your feet are about shoulder width apart, I want people just to soften their knees and just kind of swing a little bit side to side. Just the idea is to be very loose and relaxed. This is based upon what's called Qigong, which is basic practice used in the Orient a great deal for relaxation. It's like a little moving meditation. Now, what you're going to do now is place your palms with your fingers pointed at each other with the palms facing upward towards the sky. And what you're going to do is breathe in and bring those palms of open palms up to the neck. Now turn them 360 degrees so they're still facing up, but you're reaching up towards the sky. Your legs have straightened, and now you're going to breathe out as your arms are dropping right and left to either side, breathing out with an ah sound. It's kind of like almost hawk without a K. So it's like ha. And the idea is when you do this and your arms come down, your knees soften again, it's like you've inflated your whole body like a balloon, and then you're deflating your body. And I know you teach yoga too, so this is kind of a basic yoga move, Qigong move, but it's really important is to imagine you're releasing all of the cares and concerns of the day. You are releasing the past and the future. You're releasing into the now, which is right here, giving yourself full permission to feel, see, touch, taste, hear what is present, not your thoughts, not anything else except this moment. So you want to do it together?
Yes.
Okay, let's breathe in. We're reaching up. Arms are spreading right and left. Breathing out with an ah, going, ha. Releasing into the now. Why don't we do two more of those? Breathing in, arms coming up. Stretching out, and ha. One more time, releasing into the now, letting go of cares and concerns. Breathing in and out.
Ha. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so very simple and very focused on bringing yourself into the here and now.
Okay, I'm going to do that in my yoga class on Monday.
Beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
Release into the now. It's the first thing I introduced in the book.
Okay, perfect. What's the second one?
Second one is deep diaphragmatic belly breathing while accentuating the out-breath as long as you can until there's no breath left. So this cleansing breath, again, you know this in yoga, but I add a few things to it. You know, my Grammy-nominated music is, I play many instruments, but I'm known for the Native American flute. And my practice with the Native American flute, I start off with three, playing the same note, but I breathe out until I can't breathe out anymore. And I would be so relaxed afterwards, Sharky. I was going, wow, if I could just get everybody to do this. And it really helped me during my recovery was playing my flute and just doing the warm-up. But I found if I could get people even to do one deep breath and extend that out breath as long as you can until you can't breathe out anymore, and then breathe out just a little bit more, and then take a nice deep breath in. And again, this is a real cleansing breath that accentuates and releases stress. It kicks in the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest part of us. It naturally calms the mind, brings you from the head into the heart, into the body. So you want to try this together?
Sure.
All right, so we're going to breathe in. We're breathing in nice and deep from the belly. Breathing out, and breathe out with the mouth, and almost like you were playing a flute, you can almost make a little bit of a noise pursing your lips. And when you feel you can't breathe out anymore, breathe out a little more. Now breathe in nice and deep again. Let's try that again. Breathing out, pursing your lips through the mouth as long as you can. And a little more. Now close your eyes and just notice how differently you feel in your body. You just feel a little more relaxed. You feel a little bit more connected. And your mind empties. Your mind actually naturally empties in both of these movements. So this is a long extended out breath, a cleansing breath. We're really breathing out as much as you can and then a little bit further. You know, most people were only breathing out about two-thirds of the lungs. About a third of the air in the lungs stays stagnant, is never exhaled. And this really causes all kinds of problems, creates shallow breathing, brings us back into our head. And the more we're in our thoughts, in our head, the shallower our breath. And if we can bring our respiration down below 10 breaths a minute, it's extraordinary, because that actually drops you from breathing 15 to 20,000 times a day to about 5,000 times a day. And that will keep the parasympathetic nervous system running during the day. So we want to slow our respiration patterns. Studies show that almost all disease, and including early mortality, are connected to fast respiration. People who are shallow breath breathers, chest breathers, will breathe two, three, four times as many times a day. And we're kind of like a candle. The more we breathe, the faster we're using up our life energy. So we want to slow the breath down. And the second step really helps you do that.
Okay. I'm doing this on Monday, too.
Awesome. This is so much fun. And I recommend you do it three times with your
client,
too.
You know, that extra push at the end, I think, is what makes a difference.
Really,
yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can really have fun with it. You can all kind of laugh and just go,
Right.
Kind of bend over and really empty that at that very last little bit.
Okay. Does it matter if you're standing or seated? Or?
No, you can do it either way. I do think you can get a little more exhale on this if you stand, but it certainly can be done seated as well.
Okay, perfect. And what's the third one?
The third one, we come back to the mind, and this is really critical, and perhaps the other two are really preparation for this. I'm going to share with your audience a mantra that that will change their life if they really practice it and really get it. It seems very simple. Part of your mind will get it right away. Part of your mind will resist it, but it's the mantra, I am not my thoughts. My thoughts are not reality. I am not my thoughts. My thoughts are not reality. Will you say that with me and everybody out there at the audience, if they'll say it together with us?
Yes.
I am not my thoughts.
My thoughts are not my reality.
So our thoughts are always taking us into the past and the future. And thoughts, by definition, are a commentary on reality. They are not reality. What really brings us into the present moment and reality is what we're seeing, tasting, hearing, touching. It is what we are present in our sensory orientation in this moment. It is the here and now. Thoughts are a commentary on reality, not reality. But this is a huge confusion we all have in our culture. And thoughts are really where the real suffering takes place. Because the more we get lost in these thoughts, we get lost in stories. 90% of your thoughts are about regretting the past or anticipating and being anxious about the future.
Right.
And 90% of your thoughts today, we have 30 to 60,000 thoughts today, and 90% of them are the same as you had yesterday. So we get in these thought loops over and over again, and that's really what happened to me 12 years ago during my breakdown breakthrough, was that I call it vacuum lock of the mind. You ever get in those obsessive compulsive thought patterns?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, but I'm sure everybody can identify. It's human. We all do this. But literally, it creates these neuropeptide pathways in the brain that are almost like well-worn trails that, you know, your mind keeps going down and you get lost in them. So you can actually, if you notice yourself doing this, you just say, I'm not my thoughts. My thoughts are not reality. You can also say lost in thought and bring yourself back to your senses. When we say, you know, come to your senses, you know, you see, like on TV, somebody is kind of hysterical and someone slaps them and they say, you know, oh, thank you very much. Well, I don't want you slapping yourself or somebody else, but the same principle applies. Let go of thoughts and come into your senses. See what you see. Hear what you hear in the present moment, and that'll reduce that tendency to be lost in thought.
Okay. All right. I'm going to give you a situation that a lot of us find ourselves in these days. Out shopping, long lines, slow service, you know, and you're in line and you've got to be somewhere. What is a technique that, you know, I imagine it's a breathing technique, right?
Well, there's a couple things we can do. The first would start with the breathing, doing the deep breathing. And one thing I suggest is full body breathing. So imagine breathing from the tips of your toes up to the top of the head,
mm-hmm.
breathing out from the top of the head down to the tips of your toes while you're sitting there. You could even, as you breathe up, I love to do this, is come up to your tiptoes. You'll like this as a yoga teacher too. And then breathe down as you come down. A couple things about full body breathing. When we do, it's usually a, when we lengthen, deepen, and smooth our breath, again, it relaxes us, brings us into the present moment. So we have things like 4-2-4-2 breathing or 5-2-5-2 breathing. But instead of counting, if you just imagine going up and down the body, you're giving, I call it an awareness massage. You're bringing yourself into the body. The other thing you can do, and we actually teach this to people with PTSD, is trace the outline of what you're seeing. Like trace the outline of the checkout person or the person in front of you. Also notice the colors and say to yourself, blue, red, turquoise. And notice and fixate on some things that are positive or pleasant in your view. Like if there's a particular color, or the way this person's, you know, hair is in front of you, or, you know, or doing the deep breathing. And again, come to your senses. The other thing is notice your thought patterns. Because you're, you know, oh man, I'm going to be late, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
You're lost in thought. And then you can also do the mantra, I am not my thoughts. My thoughts are not reality.
Okay. I caught myself in that position last week.
And I started. I practice it. And I use it as such a wonderful practice, the checkout counter. Or
yeah.
Or being in traffic.
Right.
Or time that we're stuck.
Right, right. Are you familiar with Ujjayi breathing?
Yes. Absolutely.
I did that in mine, and I sounded like a dragon.
It
helped.
It's beautiful.
Okay. All right. I love the idea that you have mini or micro meditations, because too many people, when you talk about meditation, they think, oh gosh, I've got to, you know, clear my mind. I've got to be doing this for lunch. So what's a micro meditation?
Well, we've been talking about micro meditations. So micro meditations are quick and easy meditations that are present moment focused, don't require an extended formal sitting or space. So most formal meditation practice and most meditation practice people hear about or teach in a yoga studio, or you go to an ashram, you go to a retreat center, you know, they're going to say, gee, you need, for benefit, you need to sit 20 minutes a day, you need to get your cushion, you should create a little space and make sure there's nothing disturbing you. So people get overwhelmed. It's like, well, I don't even have time to make an appointment to go to a yoga class, much less, you know, create that. Now, in my book, I talk about it. All of that's beneficial. You know, I talk about creating what I call a peace within space, a peace within journal, and all of that's helpful. But I have found we live such busy, overwhelming lives. I found that what really people could do is I wanted to give them micro, that is simple, easy, quick, in the moment, tools to de-stress and realize meditation simply means present moment awareness with a focus on, there's a focus on some kind of object, usually the breath. And mindfulness, there's mindfulness meditation and concentration meditation. And when we talk about micro meditation, we're simply talking about something that can be done usually in 1 to 3 breaths, less than a minute. A one breath meditation, it's possible to do a one breath meditation. If you're training your mind to be present, focused in this moment, and it only takes a moment. So I'm not saying we shouldn't work on doing longer meditations. That's really important part of developing mental training and deepening all these practices. But it can start with one breath, one conscious breath. So the release into the now, the cleansing breath, the I'm not my thoughts are not reality, are all micro meditations that we've just been doing.
Okay, awesome. Well, you know what? We are just about out of time, and I know you have a 7x7 meditation challenge and mindful moments with Michael on your YouTube channel. And also, we need to know where we can get your book.
Yes, well, thank you, Sharky. Yes, and both of those are free on YouTube and, you know, wonderful resources. The 7x7 is 7 minutes a day for 7 days, and the mindful moments are just 2 minutes apiece. My book can be found at alldaypeace.com, alldaypeace.com.
Okay, and you also have an online program?
Yes, I'm launching a new online program January 28th based upon the book. And it takes, we have over 60 videos, lots of Like, I have a lot of meditations in the book, but these meditations with the program are me speaking, guiding you through it, and adding quite a few other bonus parts for it. So if people are interested, they can go to get on the early bird waiting list at thepeacesolution.com. Thepeacesolution.com will bring you to the early bird notification email list for the Peace Within. It's called the Peace Within Process for Integrative Wellness, where I really have a very robust opportunity for people to create basically a meditation retreat in the comfort of their own home with some support by a group of people. I only release this twice a year. It's like doing a retreat in the comfort of your own home.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dr. Michael. Such good suggestions, and I love the fact that they're short and powerful. So best of luck to you, and happy holidays. Okay, we'll be back with more Pep Talk and Shark to Heart right after this.
HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
We are back with more Pep Talk, and it's time for Shark to Heart. And those of you who know me know that I am a former athlete. My sport was volleyball. And I played at many different levels. I played club, I played in college for UCLA, I played on the national team, and I also played professional on the beach. And so that's a lot of competition, and I did that for many, many years and enjoyed it. But as any athlete will tell you, you learn a lot from playing your sport that you can apply to other parts of your life. And, you know, so some of the characteristics or attributes I want to share with you today that most athletes will say, yeah, I learned that from playing my sport. And because I think they're important attributes that we can use in any part of our life. And so I see that a lot of people aren't using them and we're not teaching them. And so I do want to share these. As you know, I teach at the community college level, and I do actually teach these attributes to my students because I think they need them for whatever they're going to go after in terms of career or anything in their lives. And so the first attribute that I really think is important is accountability. That's accepting responsibility for the choices that we make each and every day. And I see a huge epidemic of people not accepting accountability because we get by actually blaming other people or situations or projecting on others. And, you know, it's a technique that a lot of us use, but some of us overuse it. And the problem with that is that there's no power in making excuses and blaming others and situations. Nothing will change. And so until we accept the accountability for, you know, the choices that we made that maybe have gotten us places we don't want to be, you know, we're not going to change. We're not going to move forward. And, but we all make mistakes. And so, you know, I remember on the court, you know, if I would shank a pass, you know, I'd go, my bad, you know, I mean, I did that, you know, I didn't blame anybody else or, you know, so, you know, that's an attribute I think that we can all use. And, I'll tell you one thing I did a few years back, and I had to go, okay, my bad. I sending out Christmas cards, my daughters, they had Halloween costumes on for Halloween, and they were in their 20s at the time. And so I got the cutest picture of them. My older daughter was dressed as Wonder Woman. My younger daughter was dressed as Supergirl. And they were just playing around and, you know, cute picture. And so I decided to put it on our Christmas card. And, so I ordered them through Snapfish and, you know, sent them out. And both my daughters called me when they got the card and they go, Mom, what are you thinking? How could you possibly put that picture on on the family Christmas card? And I go, because you guys look so cute. And I go, that was crazy. How could you do that? And so I realized, okay, that was a mistake. I should have checked with them first. And I do that every year now. I always send out the pictures I'm going to put on the Christmas card or have them send me pictures, because obviously I made a mistake. So accountability, just saying, okay, I did that. My bad. Another one is resilience and not letting every little thing get to us. You know, in sports, we lose sometimes, we win sometimes. And, you know, when you lose a game, you just kind of get over it and get on and, you know, try to figure out why you lost and do something else about it. I see too many times, you know, people, you know, some of my students, something goes wrong and that's it. You know, they just stay down and moan and complain and, you know, life is tough. I mean, we need to realize that we're gonna get beat up sometimes. And, you know, so we have to be resilient and not be thin skinned. And in sports, we learn that all the time because, you know, you get beat up in sports, trust me. So, and we get beat up in life too. So being tough, not being thin skinned. The next one is persistence. Now, this is my husband's best piece of advice. He has a little quote. He says all the time, persistence equals success. And this is really true because most people give up too soon on their dreams. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if things aren't going their way or, you know, they don't get what they want right away, they just give up. And if it's something that you really, really want, you just keep trying and, you know, you'll find a way. And I always tell my students and my athletes, you know, if you really want something, just keep trying. Don't give up. Just keep trying new things. And, until you get what you want or something better, because just that effort, just not giving up, doors are going to open. I mean, they really will. And, you just, you know, just not giving up is, you know, perfect. Because, you know, in sports, we never give up. We never give up. And so no quitting. It's funny, my when I was in high school, my high school coach told me I should probably quit volleyball, and that was obviously my favorite sport. And so I decided that, you know, I wasn't going to quit. I was going to keep trying and eventually find somebody that could help me. And that's actually the way I met my husband. He was a football coach at our school, and I asked him if he would help me be a good volleyball player. And he, you know, coached a team I put together, and 8 years later, I married him. And so I didn't give up. Imagine if I had given up, I never would have met him. And we've been married for over 40 years. And so also, being a part of a team, that's one of my favorite things about playing my sport was, you know, having people out there on the court with me. Now, some of them were my friends, and others we had nothing in common off the court. But when we were on the court, we all worked together, you know, towards winning. And, you know, it's always so much more rewarding when you win as a team. I mean, I never was really into individual sports because, you know, I just always enjoyed being on a team. And so when you do something with others, not only can you achieve bigger goals, but we realize that we all have strengths that we can contribute to a cause. And working together and being a part of a team is really something that we need to embrace. And so if you're going after a goal, keep these things in mind: accountability, resilience, persistence, and teamwork. It's a formula that all athletes know well and will work in any life situation. And we'll be back with more Pep Talk right after this.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
We are back with more Pep Talk. And are you ready for some chocolate therapy? I know I am. Next up is Beth Buckwalter, the owner of Turtle Town, the much-loved handcrafted chocolate candy stores at the base of Mount Rushmore. Now, she is a confessed chocoholic and the author of The Guilty Pleasures of Chocolate Therapy. And today she will share the benefits of chocolate and some incredible recipes to bring more chocolate to your life. So welcome, Beth.
Thank you, Sharky. It is a real pleasure to be here and speaking with your audience.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to talk to you. And I love the fact that you're a confessed chocoholic. My mom is one, too. So, yeah. Right. And, you know, we always, you know, we've been taught that chocolate is bad for us. But you say that that's a myth. Tell us why it's a myth.
Well, chocolate, especially dark chocolate,
right,
has so many health benefits that I think chocolate has had a bad rap.
Right.
So I am on a mission to tell the world that it can be our best friend.
Okay.
Chocolate improves your health in many ways. Probably one of the biggest and most important is it improves cardiovascular health. It lowers your blood pressure and fights inflammation.
Oh, okay, got you. I was going to say heart, okay, but the inflammation thing is very interesting because that is one of the major risk factors now of heart disease, and it never used to be.
It is, and I actually have had people tell me that their doctor has recommended that they have a piece of dark chocolate in their diet every day.
Ah.
Which I, of course, am delighted to embrace.
Yeah, instead of aspirin, let's do the chocolate.
I'm all for it, and who doesn't love chocolate?
I know. Well, I love the fact that you talk about chocolate and the brain and some of the neurochemicals in the brain. Can you explain that to us?
Excuse me. Chocolate releases serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins. And these are very important. When you stimulate those, it promotes mood enhancement. So if you tend to be a little bit down, chocolate not only makes you feel good because it tastes so good, but it actually has an effect of stimulating those areas of the brain that produce the things that make you feel better.
Right, right. Now, there's such a thing as too much of a good thing, right?
Yes, of course. And some people would say, oh my gosh, chocolate's awful. It makes you gain weight. You get fat if you eat chocolate. Well, that's not exactly true either. That myth I would address with the fact that chocolate adds fiber to your diet. And so because of the fiber in it, it's more filling. You can have a little piece of chocolate, and it's more satisfying than if you ate something, a lot more of something else that didn't have the fiber and didn't make you feel fuller.
Okay. All right. Now, you talk about dark chocolate. I know that's a healthier choice, but most of the chocolate that people are eating out there is milk chocolate, right?
Milk chocolate is the favorite, although the tide is turning on that. 41% of people eat chocolate every single day, and I haven't been able to break that out as to how many are eating milk and how many are eating dark, but I can tell you in our store at Turtletown, we used to have to say, this piece of chocolate is double chocolate. Now we can call it dark chocolate, and people want it because of that.
Oh.
They used to be afraid of dark chocolate, but as more people are experiencing dark chocolate, it's like acquiring a taste for the finer things. And I recommend starting around 70%. 70% of chocolate still has just a very smooth texture, and it has a bit of sweetness without being bitter. So that's a good place to start, and I think most people, for the first time enjoying dark chocolate, start with a 70%. I think you'll be very surprised at how good it is.
Okay. You also mentioned that chocolate is an antioxidant. I had never heard that before.
It is an antioxidant. Both to put on the skin as well as for ingesting. And so there again, it fights aging. And again, who doesn't like that?
Yeah.
I'm all in. No surgery, please.
Right, right. Well, you say that chocolate is every woman's best love affair. And it's true, most women love chocolate. So why do you say it's a woman's best love affair?
Well, because there are many things I could say about that. The best thing, I guess, is that it's about self-care. And so, you know, they always say you have to love yourself before you can love someone else.
Right.
Chocolate is such a wonderful way to experience self-care. There are three routes of entry to the body.
Mm-hmm.
Absorption, inhalation, and ingestion if you've ever taken a first aid course. And so I promote, if you really want to do some great self-care, take it in all three ways. Of course, everyone loves the smell of chocolate. When we're cooking a vat of chocolate fudge in the stores, people from down the block can smell it and they find their way to our store because it smells of it.
Right.
That's a good way to get the benefits of chocolate as well. Ingestion, if you enjoy a little truffle, oh, that is just the yummiest thing for self-care. It, all the health benefits and the mood enhancement, you start to feel better about yourself.
Right. Right.
And, of course, absorption, and we can talk about how you can slather it all over your body if you choose. And that also has benefits.
Right, right.
But it takes you back to love of self. And sometimes we can't change our circumstances. If you've gone through the loss of something, anything, whether that be a romance, an opportunity, we can not change those circumstances if they've already happened, but we can change our perspective. So using chocolate for self-care can lead to greater self-confidence, and that can lead you back to love.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. That's interesting. I love that. I have a couple chocolate candles. They smell great. They smell great. And so.
See, there's the mood enhancement quality. They
yes.
Smell great. Already you're happier.
I know. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, you talk about self-care both emotionally and physically. But you also say that we can use chocolate to influence people and get what we want. Really? How does that work?
Okay, I'm going to speak to the men in your audience here.
Okay.
Now, any guy can go buy a box of chocolates on Valentine's Day and give it to his sweetie. Okay, that's really sweet. It's chocolate. That gives you a big point. But if that guy gets in the kitchen and makes you a box of chocolates, he has just gone way high to the next level in most women's feelings.
Okay.
That's the effort. That really shows something.
Okay. It sounds good. I like that. Get him in the kitchen. And so, and if you're going to get chocolate, get the good chocolate. And so we're going to take a small break, but when we come back, Beth, I want you to share some of your favorite recipes with us. Okay.
I would be delighted to.
All right. We'll be back with more Pep Talk and Beth Buckwalter right after this.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
Right. We are back with more Pep Talk. And I'm here with Beth Buckwalter. And we are doing some chocolate therapy. Now, she's the author of The Guilty Pleasures of Chocolate Therapy. And we've been talking about some health effects of chocolate. And I love all of these. And let's talk about recipes. And one of the recipes that I saw was a chocolate martini. Now, Jay is going, what? So tell us about the chocolate martini. I've never had one.
Well, that kind of came about because this is the year of the monkey.
Of the monkey.
I have a relative that is called the monkey. And she and some girlfriends got together, and they were having a wonderful time. And they came up with this great chocolate martini recipe. And I said, oh, my goodness, I do have to include that in my book. So we have the chocolate martini recipe.
Okay.
It, you take a shaker, sorry.
Okay.
A shaker,
yeah.
Of a chocolate liqueur.
Okay.
A shaker of a good vodka.
Okay.
And just a bit of anything that gives it a little bit of heat. And I recommend that you enjoy being a little bit creative with that.
Okay.
And shake that all together. And then you just take your finger around the rim of your martini glass and dip that in chocolate sugar.
Oh, wow. Wow. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think one would be enough. Yeah.
One is definitely enough.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to tell you, an espresso of vodka, a jigger of espresso vodka.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Plus a jigger of vodka. But that espresso vodka gives it a little bit more flavor.
Okay. All right. Well, for people who don't drink alcohol, what are some of your other favorite recipes that you would like to share?
There are so many. Let's go, because I'm so all about self-care.
Okay.
Let's go to the mask.
The mask, okay.
This is a mocha mask, and it has, let me give you the recipe. It's 4 tablespoons of finely ground coffee or espresso.
Okay.
4 tablespoons of cocoa powder.
Okay.
And yes, that is dark chocolate.
Okay.
8 tablespoons of whole milk.
Okay.
2 tablespoons of honey.
Okay.
And then you mix all that together to make a paste.
Okay.
Then slather that onto cleansed skin. Now, I recommend that you lie down, you place a couple of slices of cold cucumber over your eyes, breathe deeply. And as you're telling yourself to breathe in relaxation and breathe out stress, oh, my goodness, that is the recipe for great self-care.
Okay.
Now,
you
speaking
just
directly to those benefits, and the acid in the coffee acts as antioxidants in the chocolate, of course, on your skin. And it also acts as a vasoconstrictor to tighten the skin, reduces redness. Again, anti-inflammatory. And the honey is an antibacterial. If there's any acne concern at all, the honey is a great thing to include because it's also moisturizing and soothing on the skin.
Okay. All right. So you don't just put it on your face. You put it everywhere?
Well, that is basically for the mask. I also have a body wrap.
Oh.
That's a little more fun. That is 3 fresh strawberries, 1/3 of a cup of honey. Again, we love 5 to 6 tablespoons of sweet almond oil, because that'll cause it to glide over the body much easier.
Okay.
1 tablespoon of vanilla, and then 1/2 cup of chocolate chips. Melt them and cool them down, and then mix it all together. You can puree this in a blender or a food processor. It'll be a little bit easier to incorporate.
And that you just put all over your body.
You can put it all over your body. You can wrap your body in plastic wrap. And, you know, I always say laughter is the best medicine. So go ahead, sneak a peek in the full-length mirror. You're going to get a good laugh.
Oh.
Now, if you wrap yourself in plastic wrap, and that's just too claustrophobic for you, you can always just keep a spritzer of water next to you. So if it starts to dry out, just keep it moist.
Okay, okay. Doesn't this make a mess in the shower when you rinse off?
No, not really. That's the key. You do it in the shower.
Oh, okay.
No, not any more than I would expect. No, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Okay.
But, you know, that might also be a really fun couples activity.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, yeah, you can eat chocolate off each other, right? It probably tastes good, right?
Well, of course, an ingestion is one route of entry.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so, yeah, the self-care. This is getting to be a little fun. So, well, let's go back to ingestion. What would be your favorite thing to make with kids?
Well, I've created a recipe that I call chocolate noodles.
Oh.
My kids and now my grandkids always love being in the kitchen with me making noodles. We have flour everywhere, and it is just the best activity because that's when everyone's feeling good and conversations can flow And if, especially if you have a teenager in the house and you need to open lines of communication, get in the kitchen with them. And when you're making something fun like chocolate noodles, my guess is most people, unless you've already bought my book, have not made chocolate noodles before.
Right. I never have.
Well, I dreamed that up because I just thought it was more fun than regular old noodles.
Yeah.
So I took my grandmother's recipe and figured out how we could make it chocolate. So you start with 2 ounces of milk chocolate melted down.
Okay.
2 eggs. 1/2 cup of warm milk.
Okay.
A pinch of salt.
Okay.
That sounds like a grandma, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How much, grandma? A pinch.
Yeah, a pinch, yeah.
1 tablespoon of butter.
Okay.
2 1/2 cups of flour.
Okay.
And 1/2 cup of powdered sugar.
Okay.
So melt the chocolate into the milk.
Okay.
Whisk with the eggs.
Okay.
Mix in everything else and turn out onto a floured board.
Okay. All right.
Now here, if you have one of those wonderful KitchenAid mixers, you can put your bread attachment on there and mix it in there. But really, kneading it on the board is part of the fun.
Okay. But you know what,
then
Beth?
Roll it out to a quarter inch thick.
Okay, we are just about out of time, so they're going to have to get your book to get the rest of the recipe, okay? So where can we get your book?
Well, either at www.turtletown.com or on Amazon.
Okay, all right. Well, sounds great. I mean, I just love the fact that there's so many positive things about chocolate, and love your book, and people that want to share chocolate with their family and friends need to get this book. And so thank you so much for writing it, and thanks for being on the show today.
Sharky, my pleasure. Always choose love and always choose chocolate.
Okay, all right. We'll be back and wrap it up right after this.
Pep it up with positive energy power right here on HealthyLife.net.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pep Talk. And to my special guests, Dr. Michael DeMaria and Beth Buckwalter. Until next time, I'm Sharky Zartman, and here's to your inner shark.